And welcome back, everybody, to Game Store Profits, the podcast where we talk about gaming, we talk about God, and we mash them up together like a Reese's Pieces. And you know what? We had a lot of fun doing it, I gotta say. We are neck deep right now in episode 125. We've had a lot of conversation before this even got started, and we know this episode is going to be chock-a-block with information. So strap on your helmets for safety, kids. Listen to your Uncle Jeff, and let's go ahead and get started. So yeah, this is Jeff Romo. How you doing? And I'm joined by Mike.
I feel like I'm on some kind of morning radio show now. Good morning. Welcome to... Hi, yes, I am Mike Perna.
And I'm also joined by Daniel.
This episode is brought to you by Liquid Chicken. You'll never have to chew your food again.
Oh, sounds delightful. Sounds delightful. And in other news... News is completely insane, and in case you guys missed it in the tavern, your Uncle Jeff finally joined Twitter, and you know, I think Daniel said it the best, welcome to 2008.
Yay, yay!
I'm a little upset that your Twitter handle isn't your Uncle Jeff.
It was taken, I didn't want to add, like, 10030400 to just to get it to take.
Yeah, that's why you say the real Uncle Jeff.
So yeah, so I'm finally on the Twitters, and
you've noticed how much news gets spread over the Twitterverse.
Yeah, I mean, that was my first question when we got together on here, was like, okay, is it just me, or is it just the Twitter feed, or is there a lot of stuff going on out there? I mean, oh my gosh, the number of expansions out there was like making my eyes cross, and they crossed again when I looked at my wallet and realized it was still empty, so that was kind of frustrating, but yeah. There's a lot going on out there, right?
Before we started doing the podcast, I looked at Twitter and said, I am never going to do this. I have no desire to get on Twitter. I have no desire to see this stuff. Then we started doing the podcast. And I go, you know, maybe I should probably get on this thing. That was years ago, and I have not looked back. Probably if it wasn't for board gaming, I still wouldn't have anything to do with it, because... It is just small chunks of mostly inane information. But when it comes to the board gaming community, I don't know what it is about Twitter, but holy cow, do they come out in force. I would say that probably at least half of the contacts we had for episode 100 is because of Twitter conversations.
I can't believe that. I mean, hell, I just put in a nod to Cubicle 7 because I was doing some Victoriana prep for our, well, it will be Friday's game, but it'll be in the past for you folks out there in the universe. And it was like, got tweeted and like retweeted in 5 seconds. I'm like, oh wow, I got retweeted by Cubicle 7. And then I realized, oh yeah, that's probably like free advertising for them.
I think a lot about the board game stuff is you can do play-by-plays when their people are playing, so they can talk about what's going on in their game right then and there. I think it's why a lot of people like that as well, so.
I can dig it. I can definitely dig that.
Well, I know that it's been huge just for companies to connect, because when you really think about it, unless you're talking about like your Asmodees or stuff like that, you're really talking about companies that are probably just a handful of people. And there are designers who are basically freelancers. And what better way to get in touch with a huge group of people than to hop on Twitter, where all these people are already talking about board games? So, yeah, it is a weird and crazy place to hang out. But, man, when it comes to board gaming, Twitter, I always tell people, like, you need to be on Twitter, because that's where people – that and meetup.com are basically the two best tools that you can ever have when doing gaming.
And we got involved with that too, didn't we?
We're in the process of that. The problem with Meetup, if it wasn't for the fact that, like, I don't have a sit-down regular group yet, I'm working on it, but the problem is location. Like, all of us can admit – the problem with a regular group, it isn't even necessarily scheduling, it's location. Because unless you literally want to open up your house to strangers, and not everybody's okay with that, you have to find a place where you can meet. And so I'm in the process of scoping locations. There's a game store that I just discovered, oddly enough, because of last episode when I was looking up information on the Asmodee decisions.
Nice.
Asmodee had a link that says, find the nearest store near you. And I'm like, oh, might as well put my address in. Because since we moved to the house in November, the last game store I hung out at all the time is now, it went from 20 minutes away to 45 minutes away. So
that can make some difference.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to go hang out there when it's 45 minutes away. So I checked, and there's one that's 20 minutes from here. And so I'm hopefully going to check that out. So that might be a thing. I'm itching to get a Inroads Ministries meetup group, like get that account. But the problem is that we have no central location, and it's hard to get meetup when it's like, we're over here this time. We're over here this time. We're in another state this time. So I don't mind doing that, you know, if it's one of like two or three things we're doing on meetup, but it's kind of hard to have that be the thing on meetup.
You can join my group.
I can join your group. Do you have meetup down there?
Somewhere. But, I mean, you just come and play with us.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'll add that to the list of people that want me to come hang out with them. Because this ministry has me, you know, on the road a lot. And it's only getting more so. I have to limit myself. Because I was just saying, we've got... There's a pastor out in Kentucky that wants me to come say hi. There's, you know, TR wants me to keep coming back out to Indianapolis. I got.
Well, you know, yeah. I think the main problem that we run into though with that is like it's kind of like we're building disciples, because like not a lot of people play board games like we do, and so we're like, hey, let me introduce you to something, and you're going to like it. And you get them away for a few hours, and they're like, hey, I really like this. Is there other games like this? It's like, hey, knock on the door. Let me introduce you to our Lord and Savior Asmodee. And and you're out making new disciples.
Yeah, it's so I'm hopefully we'll be able to do more and more with the friendly local gaming store. In fact, right now, like literally as of earlier today than from when we recorded this, I went on our BGG guild, which you should definitely check out. The Inroads yep. Ministries guild has a pinned thread in it right now of just a place where you can shout out for your favorite local gaming store. Because one thing that I've noticed lately, going back to Twitter, tying it all together, one thing that I've noticed is that there are a lot of people who complain about bad game stores. And I'm not going to lie, back when I was living at our old apartment, there were two game stores that were pretty close to each other. And I will tell you, there's the good one and there's the bad one. And if you want an awkward experience, you go to the bad one. So we've all had those stories about those awkward, bad, not good at business stores. And so we wanted to compile a list of, hey, these are good stores. So in case you're traveling or in case you're in that area and just didn't know they're there, we want to give, you know, the regular community a chance to give shout outs to a good store. So if you hop on there and just give a link to the store, eventually when I get a decent number of them on that list, I want to actually compile them and do a state-by-state listing on our website, just so that, you know, with the click of a button, you can go, I'm going to be in New York. What's a good game store that the regulars like? I'm going to be right. in, you know, Ohio. What's a good game store? You know, so as many of those as we can get. Obviously, I want it to be a list that's specific to the Inroads, you know, the regulars community, because you can just do a Google search and find good game stores. I'm looking for stuff that you guys like and that you guys want to visit and you think are worth visiting, because firsthand knowledge is always better than a Google search. So hop on over to our guild. You should be a part of the guild anyway, because it's kind of awesome. I do a lot of stuff with other guilds yet as we're trying to build up you know, it's kind of like the early days of the tavern. When the tavern first started, it was basically me shoving like 15 different links down people's throats. And it took a while for people to get comfortable, be like, oh, I can share things here. And we're seeing that now. The tavern is a huge, awesome community, and I love everybody in there. So yeah. We're kind of in those early days with the guild. So I'd love to see more people getting out there and talking about just whatever in our guild.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, man. I absolutely love some of my break times at work, you know, or like at lunch, or, you know, when I'm, you know, getting into the car and I'm waiting for the car to cool off because it's like 90 million degrees out here.
Stop it. You live in California. Stop complaining about bad weather.
It's been hot.
Well, your hot's nothing like our hot. We got muggy hot.
Anyway, I love checking out my Facebook feed and seeing, you know, all the folks that have been posting, like, cool stuff. And I love, like, just throwing randomness out there just to, like, see what people respond to, that sort of stuff. But, yeah, it's such a great community out there. There's no reason not to pick their brains a little bit more and pick their hearts a little bit too. Like, what do they love? And
I have often said that the regulars are the greatest group of nerds on the internet.
Hex, yeah.
And I will stand by that.
I don't know. They're kind of weird.
Well, yeah, that's why they're the best group of nerds on the internet.
My daughter has a saying that says, weirdness is a byproduct of being awesome.
It's very true. It's very true. But speaking of weird, I do kind of want to do something a little bit different than normal. Normally, what happens, we end up talking about gaming, talking about awesomeness, and then we kind of do the turn onto spiritual things. But because of the fact that this episode's going to be so chock full of newsy craziness, I kind of want to hit, just kind of give a framework, like almost like a spiritual framework of this, because I do think there's an interesting conversation here, and I don't want to cut it short by getting caught up in the craziness of all the Kickstarters that we're going to talk about in a minute.
All right, well, hang on a second. Time out. I need to prep myself for change. Okay, now go.
Establish the change. So the kind of the framework I want to talk, because of the fact that we are going to talk a lot about Kickstarters, because I don't know if it's because of convention season coming up or just that just something happened out in the marketplace that everything needs to be hitting right now. But there is just this ridiculous swath of Kickstarters out there. And I've done a number of Kickstarters before. And I've chosen not to do certain Kickstarters. And the reason for that has a lot to do with the idea of trust. And kind of as a framework to get into the what it means to get behind these Kickstarters, I kind of want to ask, and have you guys kind of, I don't know, kind of dwell on this for a little bit in your own experiences, because so much of what we talk about when we talk about faith is this concept of trust, about putting yourself out there and putting yourselves in the hands of somebody else. I mean, literally, that's what we do when we put our faith in Christ. But this is obviously on such a smaller, tiny, insignificant portion of that in comparison, but it's kind of, just framework-wise, it's kind of that's setting the tone of literally putting yourself in somebody else's hands. So have you guys ever done any Kickstarters? Like I said, I can get into mine and the successes and failures of that, but have you guys ever done any Kickstarters? And if so, like what does that, like, have you had good experiences, bad experiences?
I've only done one and it's been a good experience. So I'm going to actually defer to Daniel on this one.
I personally have done no Kickstarters.
And, oh, come on.
And seriously, I'm serious. The whole concept behind it is cool. There is going to be Kickstarters I will in the future that I'm eyeballing. Like one that's getting ready to come out the 26th of this month, go live, from our guys at Pinnacle Entertainment Group. They're coming out with Riffs, and I know them personally. So I'll be possibly seeing about putting money there. But because I hear so many horror stories, especially with revolving around the gaming stuff, like with the D20 Entertainment, and you know where they didn't do the Knights of the Dinner Table live action stuff, and
oh, that there are horror stories, and I've only been like tertiary on that. Like I'm at the level where I've like heard it from other people, but I will tell you what, those people, it's to the point where I can't even tell you who's telling me what, because of the levels of ridiculousness that were taught up into that Kickstarter and that whole production.
It's
how insane that got.
It's like there's a guy that runs a blog on Ken or whatever his name is, Ken White or whatever it was, and like follows him, like he has people report sightings of this guy. He moved across country and now lives in Atlanta and changed his name.
What?
Yeah. I mean, he made out with like $100,000 worth of money.
Well, and you can even keeping it into board gaming, like one of the most infamous ones that ever did board gaming was the Doom that came to Atlantic City.
You talked about that before.
The Doom that came to Atlantic City is basically, it's not a Monopoly clone by any sense of the word, but it basically uses a Monopoly board framework, and it is this whole idea of, like, it's like if you add Cthulhu elements, like end of the world Cthulhu mythos to Monopoly. I actually had a buddy who backed it, and so as he was going through that nonsense, like, that guy skipped town. He just said, hey, I've collected all your money. Hey, there's not going to be a game. Hey, I'm not refunding a dime of it.
Dang.
And, like, that, it got so bad, and so many people were so angry, because I think that was, if it wasn't the first Kickstarter nightmare, it was one of the first.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot, like, with the Artesian Dice nightmare, they still, and it's been over 2 years, and they still haven't gotten orders out for their dice they kickstarted.
There's a couple companies out there that have done it, not all. There are some that have been successful, but there's a handful of things that I've heard stories about, things not getting fulfilled and questions about whether it will at all.
But I will give a props to, there's a company that did what's called Rocket Dice, and they're like dice that look like little rockets. And they got fully funded, and they found out that they were having issues with production, and they couldn't get the quality that they wanted. So they refunded every bit of money.
So hearing these stories and hearing about, there's the big ticket ones, but there's also smaller ones. Like, I can tell you stories about things that I've backed that either haven't been ever fulfilled or were fulfilled, but in a crappy way, like years later. When you hear stories like that, you know, what does that do even to your ability to trust? Like, Daniel, you said you haven't backed anything before.
No.
Like, is that just because, you know, you haven't done anything? Or is it just because, like, you have a hard time putting your trust in something like that, having heard the stories?
Well, I mean, hearing the stories and things, and I get all excited about stuff, and I'm afraid that the moment I do decide to back something like that, like, it will utterly fail, and I won't get my money back, and that's why I kind of wait for it to go retail or pick it up, because a lot of these places, like Ghostbusters did, like, they started putting their stuff retail before they even, you know, started funding anybody else that came to the Kickstarter. And so, I mean, if something, like, there's a new 3D printer that I want that is on there right now, and I know for sure it's going to hit on retail as soon as they can put it on retail, and I'm just going to wait because all the bugs will be worked out by then.
Right. Yeah. You know, and the other thing, too, is, like, I know trust is a big issue for me when it comes to things like that, but at the same time, I'm thinking of how, you know, we, as Inroads, as a ministry, have been trying so hard to get things off the ground, you know, like with TavernCon last year, and obviously what you're going to be announcing here soon, or adding to is here real soon. But there's also another part of me that knows myself, and that if I can get involved with one Kickstarter, I'm likely going to start plugging little bits of money here and there at other ones.
The floodgates will open.
I'm looking at Dr. Loom right now. But, yeah, I mean, I think I would be quickly addicted to, oh, this looks awesome, I'm going to give him $20. Oh, this looks awesome, I'm going to do 15. Ooh, I can back him for 50, and I'm going to get like 175 minis. Yeah, I just, that's more of a trust issue for myself.
Well, I think, you know, oddly enough, I think that backing board games to me has really had, like, it's no new insight, but it's kind of just a reflection of what happens on the day-to-day with, you know, my walk with God. And it's really weird that comes out. But I think that doing this ministry has just, and I'm actually, you know, going to put out a new article, not too much in the distant future. It may even be up by the time this goes live. But I just have this mindset now of what is this talking to me? You know, how is this talking to me about faith and everything like that? Kickstarter and trusting in that, like, I've discovered that you have to find people who are trustworthy to put your trust in. The idea of just walking into Kickstarter and because they're on Kickstarter, they are trustworthy, that's gone. Or it should be. Because so many people have abused it. So many people have made huge promises that they never were able to fulfill. There have been so many, like, disappointing games. Like there are games that get nothing but hype, fund almost instantaneously. People actually get it in their hands and go, this is awful. This is nothing like I expected it to be. So, to me, it comes down to, like, at this point, I have to do a lot of research. I look at who's putting it out, what have they done previously, how are people reviewing other Kickstarters they've done? Do they have actual production product and they're just looking to get the money to mass produce it? Or are they just saying, I have an idea for a thing that might happen sometime in the future? Like, I look at all these different things and it informs whether I find them worthy of that trust. And I think so much for me, it's this idea that I'll be straight up honest. I don't always go into, you know, my faith and interactions with God on that level of trust. I don't always go into that. I've shared on here, and if you've ever heard me personally, you've heard me say it. I have a hard time, and something that I struggle with is the provision that God has, that God will provide. It's something that I struggle with all the time, especially because there are times when Susan, my wife, and I will be talking about, you know, getting bills paid and everything like that, and we talk about what would happen if InRoads became my job, even though I didn't make money at it yet. Like, there's all this stuff, and there are times when we come up, either she comes up with an idea for ministry, or I come up with an idea for ministry, or we come up with something just for the betterment of the family, and we go, how are we going to pay for this? And I look at it and go, we can't do this. And Susan, you know, is all about the idea of we need to move toward this. And even if we can't make that jump, we need to move towards it. And I'm just like, why? We're never going to do it. And, you know, that's something that I struggle with. But even in the midst of that struggle, every time I think that God's not got us covered, every time I think that God's going to let us drop, even when it feels that way, when, you know, I'm just looking at this shambled wreck of stuff about my feet, and I go, this proves it, you know, he's not coming through on this. That's always when he does. Like, I can look over my life, and even in the times when it doesn't feel like God's trustworthy, I look back through the lens of, you know, hindsight's 2020, and I look back and I go, holy crap, man, you know, he had me the whole way.
Right. I mean, we've had, like you said, we've had that conversation on and off the mic. I mean, it's, and the ironic thing is that the one thing that we can trust in is the one thing sometimes we're the most fearful to trust in.
Right.
And I'll say, for me, that the reason behind that is because I'm afraid to find out what he has in store, because it's not always, you know, and people have said this over and over again, you know, as a Christian, you know, that you're not always, the things that you are heavily interested in and want for yourself are not necessarily what the Lord has in store for you. And when you ask for, you know, you want to offer up that trust and you ask for a thing or an event or relief from something, sometimes the exact opposite happens. And like you said, you look behind you, you know, a year or 6 months or even 10 minutes, and you realize, oh yeah, he had me there. He had me taken care of right there, and I had no idea. And you know, that's, that one thing is a comparison of saying, you know, well, you know, do we trust the things of the world or do we trust the things of the Lord? And it helps us to manage, I think, helps us to manage expectations, even when it has to do with things as mundane as, say, a Kickstarter, but as cataclysmically important as, you know, how do I help my marriage, or how do I mend fences with my best friend, or how do I continue to go to church? You know, that trust level and the expectation level can be managed.
Well, and then you're also dealing with the fact that you have, when you're dealing with trusting in God, especially in situations where it does feel like everything's going to pot, you realize that there are so many stories, and I was just talking about this the other day with my wife and some friends of ours, and I said, so many times we want to just rush to the happy ending because right. It's in our nature. We know the happy ending's coming. We believe that the happy ending's coming. So we want to just get there. And so right. Many times, you know, throughout so many different stories, Old and New Testament, there are times when God says, no, I'm going to be with you here in the midst of the crap, and you need to trust me here. Like the one the story that's been constantly in the back of my mind recently is the man born blind story. The one where the disciples go, is it his sin or somebody or his parents' sin that makes him blind? And Jesus said literally, you know, it wasn't either. It was so that I could heal him. So this man lived being blind and in that world and that society basically useless for decades, just so that in this one shining moment, God could be revealed in that miracle. Some aspect of who God is can be revealed in that miracle. And, you know, it's in that that, you know, I see so much of the idea of trust and how much we need it and how much he's worth it, even when it doesn't go our way. Which puts it, it makes this analogy not one-to-one, because if you put your stuff in, you put your trust in a Kickstarter and it goes bad, there's really nothing gained there other than you lost your money and you have a story. But right. When it comes to...
And that's the whole thing I was talking about with perspective and managing those expectations. It's like, yeah, okay, I lost out on this, you know, but then with that perspective, knowing that, okay, well, there was a company that was trying to get off the ground and try and do a thing. Hopefully they're not like these folks that, you know, they ran off and took all the money, but, you know, they were trying to do a thing and unfortunately, you know, it didn't work. So,
well, you know, with the whole thing with that, I think that, in my opinion, on Kickstarter, they need to build in a way to refund. Like if they cannot meet the expectations, it has to be refunded. And, you know, the...
Right.
You know,
that's the accountability angle, sure.
Yeah, I mean, the people that, you know, that don't give the money back, though, I mean, they're just... And a lot of times, if they can get away with it, they're just going to do it again. It's when you need to pray for them.
I think it'll be interesting to see, in light of some of the stuff we've seen happen and some of the well, let's just call it like it is, the giant screw jobs that have been done over Twitter. I think we're starting to get to the point where the who's at fault is coming up. And I think there have been some, especially with like what the doom that ain't Atlantic City, like that one had some, there was some litigation involved. Like there was, there was craziness going on there. So it'll be interesting to see how that all starts playing out. Because really, when you're dealing with a system where you're basically paying for the thing to be made, it's not a pre-order, it's not a promise, it's a, we want to make this thing, we need your money in order to do that.
Yeah, they call it a funding for a reason.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I think that I think that we're starting to get into a place with Kickstarter. Like, at first it was the grand utopia, and I think now people are realizing, no, a lot of cool things happen, but maybe it's not that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, well, I think, at least in my distant perspective, it was like it went from grand utopia, like, oh my gosh, I can get my thing done because somebody can help me with money and stuff, and all my worries are gone aside, and then all of a sudden it became the Wild West. And then now it's like not just the small guys are doing it, but, you know, large companies are doing it.
Right.
And we're seeing all the expansions now.
The most infamous one, the most infamous one would be Cool Mini or Not.
Right.
Has, I mean, they just print money every time they do one.
Yeah, like 30 seconds, it funds. 3 minutes, it's done. You know,
yeah.
Like, wow. We're talking about stretch goals before I even go to lunch and check how the Kickstarter is doing.
Well, in light of that, like, it's funny because we're making the turn, but it's turning towards gaming. We've kind of had our big discussion about trusting and how God is worth trusting and all that. We've had the deep discussion. Now we're just going to gush because, oh my goodness. It's like Kickstarter just laid out this red carpet and led me to this giant table and said, please eat. And I said no, because it's too expensive, but dang, I want to.
Well, that's a much better metaphor than I was going to use. I was going to say it just vomited happy everywhere.
Can we talk about the bags real quick?
We can definitely open up with the level 3B Kickstarter, because these guys are doing awesome things for us.
These bags...
So we're going to be able to say that they actually is our bag, baby.
You know, I'm even going to give that to you, because, yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah.
So, like, these bags are built for nothing but porting our wares and our trades around of board gaming. But I've got to tell you what literally happened to me. Like, I had a gaming day Saturday, and I loaded all my games up in my big Tupperware container and put them in the back of my van. And I came to a hard stop in my van, and that Tupperware container flipped over. in my van. Games everywhere. And, you know, thank goodness that the lids didn't all the way come off. But when I opened them up, I had to fix pieces and put them back where they went. But if they, even just one game, because I'm so OCD about game parts, even if just one game popped open, I would have been digging in the back of the van, looking to make sure I got every single piece of that. You know, these bags are important.
Yes, because who wants to be stuck at a table and finding out, oh my gosh, I don't have the Quadra Castle for Castles of Burgundy available. What am I going to do?
Yeah, so like, if any of you all feel like giving for these, because currently we are all poor, we will gladly take your donations. I don't need many bags myself. Just two would do me fine. But Mike himself needs like 50 bags.
I don't need... No, I will say, you know, we're joking. I mean, I will gladly take any help right now in getting more bags. But there have been a couple people who have donated because I put the call out on our social media and said, hey, these are technically a luxury because we all do have some means to get the games around. But the greatness of these bags is that they are designed to carry games. Like, as Daniel just said, you know, we all kind of make do with what we have. And as much as I love my old wooden steamer trunks that I use, it really is obnoxious. And I have had game boxes that have been damaged in the midst of traveling. Like, my last road trip was
worst.
Was 2 hours one way with all my games in the back. Now, thankfully, that particular run, I just had some shifting, and I had to just put everything back in the right spots in the inserts. But I have had times when stuff has been damaged. Like, my Ticket to Ride box will never be the same. But these bags are going to do some good. We've had a couple donations that literally have gotten us a good number. I will probably be putting in... probably be talking to the guys at Level 3B. So even if you're listening to this, if you want, the Kickstarter's still going. We could definitely talk to them about getting more, but I'll probably be emailing them because they actually have been working with us a lot to help us kind of get a good deal. Like, we're getting it a special offer, like, on per bag because of the fact that they actually, you know, they might be listening to us right now, which it would be awesome. But the folks who put that bag out actually are fans of what En-ROADS is doing. And so they're like, we want to help. We'll give you a special rate. We can't do it for free because these are really nice bags and they're expensive to make. But they're like, we do want to give you a deal because we love what you guys are doing. So that Kickstarter is definitely going. Let's see. I do kind of want to check because their goal, you know, when you do Kickstarter, you set a goal to see if it's going to get funded. And they're like, hopefully we'll be funded. Their goal was just over $2,000. They are currently, and it's not even been a full day. They just went live at 3 o'clock in the afternoon today. They are already at $81,000.
That's ridiculous. They should give us a better deal. It's all from our advertising.
Yeah, surely it's all from us. It's not, you know, rolling dice and taking names in the dice tower and watch it played. It's not any of those guys. It's En-ROADS.
No. Yeah. It's always...
So that Kickstarter is definitely going on. These game bags are awesome, and you're probably not going to need as many as we need, but even if you just have one, if you find yourself traveling to other people's houses for game nights or to game stores, and you have a hard time finding the right bag, I'm not going to lie, these will set you back some money. They're not cheap bags, but yeah, they're worth every penny. So if you have that lying around looking for something to do, these bags are so worth it. So that being said, we've done the one that it's funny because, you know, there's part of me that wants to go into full disclosure mode, but I really don't have to because we're actually paying them for the privilege of advertising their stuff. So I you know, but yeah, so we definitely love those bags, but there are other things because. So many things came out. So much pretty is on the internet right now.
Too many things.
Who wants to open up this bag of awesome?
I'm going to make Jeff Romo drool. he has always wanted to really get into an RPG system called Rifts, But as he pointed out to me, it was too complicated for him.
Hey, quiet you. That was like my first RPG system ever. No. I launched my career in RPGs on Rifts. I cut my teeth on Rifts. You best step off.
Well, I'll say it. I looked at the Rifts book, man. It was obnoxious. Yeah, I'm like, this is pretty difficult. This is such a cool theme. Just throw everything together into one world. That's awesome. Holy crap, that book is a nightmare.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you this right now. On the 26th, which is next week, Pinnacle Entertainment, the people that brought you Deadlands, Savage Worlds, and Doomtown, is bringing forth Rifts. They've gotten it licensed for them to create a version for Savage Worlds, and I am super stoked about this. The player guide for it is only $15, and it's digital. And if you're a DM, it's going to cost you $45 to get everything you need to run the game. But with that being said, I wholeheartedly think it's worth it. And this is the one Kickstarter I'm just sitting here thinking, yeah, this might be my first one.
Yeah. I think it'd be worth it. I mean, it'd be nice to harken back to my first love.
I will say that, you know, Savage Worlds seems to be that system that you can make anything work. So I'm curious to see how that works.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's definitely. Dead simple, and it's easy. You can learn how to play it in the afternoon.
I can attest to that.
I'll keep the RPG train rolling because it was either today or yesterday that the guys over at Saving the Game, our partner podcast, they had the creator of Unknown Armies on their podcast. And if you haven't listened to that by now, you really, really should. It's a fantastic interview.
Get over there.
And the only person I ever knew who had done anything with Unknown Armies is Grant. Like, everything I know about this system, I know through the filter of Grant.
Yep.
So, I will say that I have looked at this Kickstarter, I've listened to that interview, and I'm not 100% sold on the system, because obviously everything I know is through the eyes of Grant, and Grant is a raging fanboy.
Oh, he's a little enthusiastic. I asked him one question, because he wrote an article about it. I'm sure it was one of many. And I was like, I messaged him. I'm like, hey, Grant, tell me a little bit about this Unknown Armies. Boom. I mean, it was just complete enthusiasm for the system.
So it is interesting, the idea. Like, there are some people who are probably listening to us who would get really uncomfortable with Unknown Armies. So yes, that's out there because of the fact that, like, it has it's sort of realistic. It's a modern setting. But the mythos and the mythology of this is the cosmology of Unknown Armies is so not actual. And so some people don't jive with the everything's like it is in real life, but it's totally not. And you kind of have to, because this is literally like there are these people who are pretty much vying for like to be. I'm only just learning about this system. But so I don't know all the terms, but they're basically you're playing as these people who are like trying to become the living embodiment of this creator god who rebuilds the universe, and you're trying to fulfill your goal to be that guy. So again, there are going to be some people who makes them uncomfortable. But if you are one who likes like horror gaming and stuff and don't mind putting yourself in a fictitious kind of cosmology, the system sounds fantastic. I know I would really love to kick the tires on it sometime, but it definitely has caught my attention, and it's definitely seeing a lot of activity over there. And let me see when the date is over. It will still be going on when this goes live, though it will be on the way out. So if you're thinking about looking into it, look into it quickly, because it's almost going to be done.
And for that Savage Worlds the Kickstarter, that will have started
the 26th.
Nope, it's going to start on the 26th, so very close, and then it'll run till the May 19th, so you guys have some time to jump in on that.
So, Jeff, is there anything? Because I got plenty. I could go all day.
Well, to be honest, like, I mean, Kickstarter-wise, I mean, Dead of Winter, like, caught my eye. They have a new a new addition to it. It's a standalone.
They're not going on Kickstarter, are they?
No, I guess. I mean, come on. Why do they need to? I mean, I guess
they have no need.
Yeah, I know. It's not quite Kickstarter, but
it is something that's on the horizon that I'm pretty interested in. So, yeah. Dead of Winter, The Long Night. It's a new standalone edition.
I'm literally limiting myself to Kickstarters because if we're doing pre-orders, then that's a whole other kettle of fish that, you know, I could go on for days. Like, this is the time when everybody's releasing everything.
Well, I'll throw something into the pond that will add ripples. And I just saw that flying through the Twitter feed quite a bit, and that was Betrayal on House on the Haunted Hill. Or House on the Hill.
Yes.
The expansion of Widow's Walk. I mean, it's a game that's been established for a long time, and now they're just now tossing out an expansion. Actually, it's happened a couple of times, right? A couple things here. Whitechapel's another one.
Letters from Whitechapel's getting an expansion, yep.
Yeah. So, there you go. There you go. That's a couple of the ones that I'm looking forward to. We talked a little bit about Whitechapel briefly when I was talking about Dracula's Fury that I played. Another game I wouldn't mind getting into. So.
Well, as much as that is awesome, like I said, that's a whole show in and of itself right there. I'm trying to limit myself to Kickstarters because there's so much. I will say, let's do the big one in the room. This one, you know how we talked about some people can just print money and they'll fund in minutes. The Dark Souls board game.
Yeah.
Put out by the guys at Steamforged Games, literally funded in 3 minutes.
It funded just about as quickly as you're going to die in the game.
Yeah, it funded in 3 minutes. 24 hours had not gone up by, and they'd raised $1 million.
Oof.
Yeah.
Gosh.
This is going to be crazy pants. I've looked at the miniatures, and This game follows all the checkpoints for being successful on Kickstarter. It has great miniatures, it has an interesting IP, and it has a modular board. So this is literally, like, if you were to create the perfect Kickstarter, it would probably be this. So I'm really curious to see how this one plays out. I have only slightly played one of the Dark Souls games because I don't have a console, and the PC... The PC ports are awful for Dark Souls, like, universally. So, I've only played slightly, but I know it's kind of, you know, Daniel, you and I both hang out on Game Church City, like, all the time, and those guys can't shut up about Dark Souls.
Yeah, and, like, I have Dark Souls 1. It was actually loaned to me from my buddy Slim, and, you know, and I've played, like, I've probably put, like, 2 hours into the game total, because, like, I die within the first 2 minutes, and repeating that gets boring. So,
well, yeah, it's literally a game who, you know, the catchphrase is prepare to die, yeah. And it's become the most annoying battle cry on the internet, which is get good, spelled GITGUD. They say that they're designing this board game to be just as punishing on people. I already have a board game that is based off of a video game that is punishing and evil, and that's XCOM. I don't need another one. So, but I am really curious to see how that one plays out. It's kind of hard not to talk about the Dark Souls game right now because everybody and their uncle is looking to get their hands on it.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean... to me, it looks like this game should be made by the same people that made Pandemic. I mean, it's not, but I'm just saying, Z-Man Games, just the way they like to kill people off really quickly.
Well, I'm really... Steamforged is kind of a company that I'm really interested in looking into because I have become obsessed, and I say obsessed because I'm not able to buy any of these, and I don't know if I'll be able to ever convince anyone up here to play them with me. But I have become almost obsessed with this game called Guild Ball, which is basically Blood Bowl. It's so much better for me because I have a long-standing war, or my wallet has a long-standing war with Games Workshop. So yeah. The idea that I could play a Bloodsport football game where, like, each team has, like, 6 players, one of which is a mascot. And one of the teams, the Hunters, I think, the Hunters Guild, has a bear mascot. Yeah, I'm in.
Well, you know, I know people, and I could get you some Blood Bowl action that doesn't come from Games Workshop.
No, as it stands, I don't know. The part of the reason, that I'm not into Guild Ball right now is partly because I can't afford it, and partly because I don't know if I can ever convince anyone to play it with me. So if any of those things change, then I'll let you know. But
I do have to go off topic for just 1 second, guys, because, you know, the whole concept of pandemic, it gets into your brain and you go nuts for it. Do you realize they're making a movie for this?
Oh, yeah.
I just found this out, and I'm just like, well, you know, at least it's not a D&D movie about somebody getting lost in some tunnels.
Hey, I'm just happy that in the world of board gaming movies, we've already had Battleship,
which was Clue.
Clue was the one exception. Clue is a good one.
I know,
but so we've good. we've had Battleship. We've got Monopoly and Catan both coming up, and all of that makes my brain hurt. So, Pandemic, I can actually see them making a game, or making a movie out of that game. So, that's at least something.
Yeah, we're almost mainstream.
Here, I'll even transition. Because speaking of movies that are turned into board games, instead of board games turned into movies, Ghostbusters 2, the board game, has a Kickstarter.
Is it going to have a mechanized Statue of Liberty?
I don't think so. It's not actually Ghostbusters 2, but I will say that it looks like some form of the ooze is involved.
Oh my goodness.
And okay. Oh wait, nope, there is a Statue of Liberty tile, and you do get to ride it. That's a thing.
Oh jeez.
So Ghostbusters 2 is a thing that's happening. I will say that I've heard mixed reviews about the first one. I've heard that it's okay. I don't know a lot of people that are really raving about it, but I don't hear a lot of bad about it either, so it might be something worth checking out.
You know, I think the issue with the Ghostbusters game is that, you know, it almost had the ability to become one of those bad Kickstarters that we were talking about earlier, because, you know, the first Ghostbusters game came out, and before they even finished fulfilling their orders, the boards were hitting, the games were hitting Amazon. So they were fulfilling their retail orders before they were actually fulfilling their Kickstarter orders.
Yeah, people have handled that differently. I don't completely fault people for going saying, hey, we have the opportunity to put these on shelves, let's do it. But I do think that there is, if you want to do it in tandem, that's fine, but I do think that you do have an obligation to fulfill the Kickstarter orders.
Yeah.
But so some companies do that better, some worse. I will say, if nothing else, the Ghostbusters game had me interested because they have a dice tower in the form of the firehouse.
Yeah.
And I don't use dice towers. I might start if it looked like the Ghostbusters firehouse.
Just to get a hand on that, sure.
I love my dice towers.
Another one that's coming out, which is another IP game, is the Dresden Files cooperative card game. I have been a fan of Dresden for a while. However, I've mostly been a fan of the idea of Dresden because I hadn't ever sat down with the books. I recently was able to sit down, and I'm going through Stormfront right now, which is the first book. And I will say that I want to get all of them now. I want to get all the books. So, the idea that this it's a cooperative card game, which you don't see a lot of cooperative card games. I do like the fact that they're based off of characters and actions and enemies from the not only the books, but also there's a Dresden Files role-playing game. And the role-playing game is made in the Fate system, and there's even callbacks to the Fate system. With different dice rolls there are dice rolls, and it has, like, you're using fate points to do at different actions. So, like, it even calls back to the RPG, and it just really looks interesting. And I like the way it's set up, and I love the characters. The artwork is on point. It just looks stellar, and I really want to check that out because, like I said, I'm quickly becoming a Harry Dresden fanboy.
That first book is, like, that's the easiest one to get hooked into the whole world. I mean, the concept in and of itself is awesome, but, I mean, you know, obviously it's solidified by the good writing.
And then I will kind of wrap up my list of Kickstarters, though I could continue. but I am really curious about this one, mostly because when you build something off of what is already a piece of fiction, you have like levels of nerdery here. So when I heard that, I've never had to pronounce it. So it's TAC, I believe. It's a game that is from the book The Wise Man's Fear from Patrick Rothfuss. It is a game, a fictional game that they've brought into real life, which oddly enough is not the first time that's happened with Patrick Rothfuss or this book series. They also have a card game called Pairs, but it's an abstract game. The pieces look gorgeous. And when I post this episode, I'm going to link to all these Kickstarters so I could explain what's going on, but it's an abstract game. So, you know, it's a strategy abstract game. You can build off of that what you will, but the pieces look gorgeous. I've read all of those books. So I'm fascinated by that world. Patrick Rothfuss is an amazing author, and I'm really curious to see the implementation of this fictional game in a real world. So it just looks pretty cool.
I don't know why my brain went to people's attempts to make Sabic a thing in the real world.
Just
sorry.
Why? There. Before you know it, we'll be referencing Cones of Dunshire.
Yeah.
There you go.
I won't think.
There actually was an attempt to make it a real game. All right.
So good. So good.
Well, I could keep going, but we'd need another hour. There's so much goodness out there. This doesn't even include, like I said, there's so many pre-orders and stuff going on right now above and beyond this. This isn't even all the Kickstarters that are popular right now. These are just the ones that I liked and that the guys liked. There is so much going on right now. It's like that we're dealing with the fact that Origins is, you know, 2 months away. Oh, I forgot before. I can't leave it without talking about this one, because this one actually has me probably the most excited, and I can't believe I almost forgot about it. There is a video game that I actually ended up doing a write-up for Game Church called This War of Mine. And this game is brutal. You are basically like refugees. You're basically survivors in the middle of this war-torn area, and you just have this one building that you live in during the day, and you're trying to build up different things that allow you to live, because there's no power, there's no water, there's no nothing. So you're trying to basically build up just enough stuff so that you can live. And at first it becomes about subsistence. You're just literally trying to get enough food and water to keep you alive. But after a while, you're also trying to build up morale, because this in the video game form, I mean, you can literally have characters end their own lives. Like, they're just so beat up and dealing with the stress of it all that they just can't take it anymore and off themselves. And they made this a board game. I am super excited about this. I have played, I can't even tell you how many hours of this video game. Like I said, I did the write-up for it. I'm super excited because the gentleman who they've got designing it, who I've never had to actually say his name out loud, so I hope I don't butcher it, Michael Oroks. He works with Portal, so I believe he is a Polish gentleman. And he is the designer from Nurashima Hex, which is a fantastic game, and I love that game so much. So when I heard that he was going to be responsible for This War of Mine, and hearing him talk about the video game and how much of a fan he is, like how a deep, passionate fan he is of that video game, when he starts saying, you know, I'm going to design this game and it's going to be true to the actual video game, I got really excited. That Kickstarter hasn't officially kicked off yet, but they've kind of done a preview of it. They have a preview of the Kickstarter page. And man, it looks so good. And they actually use the same characters from the video game. They're working with the people who put the video game out.
Well, they did that. They did that mock-up of the tournament.
Oh, see that if that was part of the game, they would have all my money.
Well, yeah, it would take all of your money to buy a single copy of the game, because it would be so expensive.
Oh my goodness! The thing they built for the promo shots of it is so gorgeous, but it is a 2D, just a flat board, but it still looks like it gives you that vibe. It's so good because that game makes you make hard, hard decisions. Like, the kind of stuff that it makes you do is, you know, will you kill a soldier because he's threatening to basically assault a woman? So you're basically just, you walk in as he's about ready to just absolutely assault this woman, and you're like, that man has a gun and body armor and I have a shovel. And so you're like, do I just let him do this to save myself? Or do I go in there and possibly get killed? Do I, you know, steal these people's medicine because my people need it, but then they're going to be without it and they're going to probably die? Like, this game does not allow you to make easy decisions. And the board game actually has mechanics involved in it that remembers the decisions you made before. Like, the decisions you made earlier in the game will have repercussions later. And I don't know of a lot of board games that do that. Role-playing games do that all the time, but I don't know many board games that do. Sure. I'm super excited about it. Okay, now I'm going to stop.
Well, let's transition off of that, because that game makes you make tough decisions, right? And with all of this stuff out there on Kickstarter, hold on, kids, watch your Uncle Jeff or listen to him. It's tough to make a decision on Kickstarter. You have to be wise. You have to look at the repercussions. You got to look at the company to help you make a decision on whether you'd want to follow it. Is it based on a thing that you like, you know, like this War of Mine? Is it based on something like that? Is it based off of a tried and true property that you're used to already? So there's a lot of elements in there that'll help you build trust because there's experience with it. That's not to say that there aren't going to be good Kickstarters out there, and there are for first-time ventures. But discernment is a big part of how you kind of work that trust angle, how you navigate that trust. There's a lot
so much good.
There's a lot
of this was definitely one of those times where I just want to be like, I wish I had all the money, and I was told I can't spend it on anything other than board games.
Well, we got to trust that eventually these things will find their way to you, maybe via a gaming group who somebody has already bought it and brings it to game night. You never know. So let's do this. What's coming up? I know we've got one big thing that we should probably just knock it out right now because we're at the hour mark. What's coming up here in the next couple months, Mr.
Well,
Mike?
I just said that Origins is a couple months away, but guess what all else is happening a couple months away on that same weekend? That would be TavernCon.
Thank you.
TavernCon is we're looking to have a really cool event this year. We're definitely going to have folks from the Bodana Group. And I was just talking to Jack Birkenstock not that long ago, and he said that his crew is going to bring No Thank You Evil, which is the game put out by the same people that did Numenera. So Monte Cook Games did it's a role-playing game for kids. Not only is it for kids, but it's designed to be run by kids. So kids DM, kids play, and it's so awesome. I've wanted to get my hands on it for a while, but as is the theme of this episode, I don't have enough money to back all this stuff. So I haven't been able to actually see a physical copy of it. So I'm just as giddy about this as probably the kids that are going to be playing it at TavernCon. So hopefully that's going
to
happen.
I'm excited about that. I want that for my kids.
I'm super excited just to have people see what the Bodana Group is doing. I got introduced to them from the people at Saving the Game because they've known them for a lot longer. It'll be really cool to be able to do that and to show people what they're doing, because they use role-playing games and board games in clinical applications, especially kids and basically all sorts of people who either have been abused or were abusers themselves. And they use role-playing games and board games to kind of speak into that. Super excited about that. We're gonna do the Pretense Meta Tournament again, where we're basically taking Jason Tagmeier's game called Pretense, where you take on a role and get people to do ridiculous things while you're playing other games, like give you food or hand you a rule book or whatever like that. Last Person Standing is going to receive a collection of Buttonshy games because Jason Tagmeier is awesome. And whether he's there or not this year, he's told me that he's going to give us a couple of his games. So I will tell you exactly which ones and how many of them will be available when he actually gets them to me. So, Jason, if you're listening, I would love it if you could get me that information. We also do have several different giveaways this year. I have a Numenera Reliquary box set, which I am absolutely jealous about because they've added stuff to that since I was part of the original Numenera Kickstarter. They've added Pretty to the Reliquary, and it's going to be really hard for me to give that to somebody else because there's so much Pretty in that box.
And if you're curious about it, kids, look it up. And if you're nearby and you're even thinking about going to TavernCon, that'll probably push you over the edge. Think, I have a chance to win.
So we have that. We've got a couple copies of the digital version as well as one copy of the physical version of Kings of Israel. We have a physical copy of Commissioned that the guys at Kara Games, Pat Lysite, gave us that to give out. Lance Hill gave us the Kings of Israel. And I've got a bucket full of stuff from Tasty Minstrel. So those guys have given us a bunch of different copies of a couple different games that they sent. Our the man, the myth, the top hat wearing player of dwarven awesomeness, that is Brent Brown, has decided that he is going to send us a copy of Star Wars Risk. So that is nice. Is winging its way to me right now. And he said you could either use it for the ministry or to give away at TavernCon. I decided that I was going to give that to TavernCon because Star Wars Risk, even people who say I can't stand Risk say, no, Star Wars Risk, it's super awesome. And the board looks like a TIE fighter. So come on. So there's all that stuff happening. There's going to be food. There's going to be 10 hours of open gaming. It's going to be a good time. I'm hoping that this year we have even a bigger turnout than last year. I'm hoping that we raise even more money for the ministry this year so that we can continue to do awesome events like this, because I love doing these events and getting people to the table and not charging people a dime for it. I love doing that, and hopefully the money we raise this year, now that we've actually raised enough money over the past year-ish to cover a lot of the initial expenses of starting the ministry. So with that all behind us, I can literally put all of this money towards running game days and getting stuff in people's hands. So I am super excited, and I'm really looking forward to TavernCon.
I'm looking forward to hearing about it too. That's where being on the West Coast makes it difficult, but it's going to be awesome. I just know it.
Oh, Brent was telling me that he wants to be out here. What's it called? TR basically looked at me. TR Knight sent me a message, and he's like, my wish is that you would come out here so that I can actually play with you. And I'm like, so
very cool stuff.
Definitely going to be a fun event. If you're in the area on June 18th, we are going to be doing a lot of, I know there's a bunch of regulars that are already planning on road tripping out here. I love that. I love just getting able to meet people, especially people who I've seen on the in the tavern and on the guild and everything like that, to actually be able to shake their hands. It's good. Last year I got to meet one of our guys in our play by post game. He came out. So I love this stuff. It's so cool to see you guys from the community out at TavernCon. And I hope that that event continues to grow. There's a reason why I called it Tavern Con, even though it's really just a glorified game day. It's because eventually I want it to be this epic kind of convention. And doing these and having you guys out there is why I want to keep seeing it grow, because I want to have more people there and just revel in the awesomeness of it all.
Well, speaking of communities and bringing the community together, just a very little bit of snippet of preview. I've tossed it out there a couple times in the tavern. I don't know if people have picked up on it, but I am in the works putting together what will be called Inroads Plays
Summer of One-Shots.
That's right. And so I've got a couple of slated games that I'm thinking of putting together. D&D is going to be one, and it's going to be based on a story that folks will know. I'll leave it there. I know that, Daniel, you're going to be wanting to do Savage Worlds, so I think that has to be another one.
Yes.
I wouldn't mind getting into either Dungeon World or another game that's kind of related to the Apocalypse World engine. Kind of a good way to demo that is through a one-shot. And one thing that's definitely going to be there is Stars Without Numbers. That's definitely going to be another game that'll be out there. But stay tuned. We'll get those, get some of the dates announced as far as what we'll be looking to do, and then I'll be looking to cultivate players from the regulars community. So keep your eyes on Facebook. We'll see what happens.
So much awesomeness, so little time.
Yes, right. How about you, Daniel? What's coming up here for you?
Well, the last game day at the Branch House will be on the 30th, which is Tabletop Day. It's just for the season, because as the summer picks up, I know we're not going to be able to have game days with people showing up, because people want to go out during the summer and go to the lake and things like that. So, but we are going to be scheduling game days at churches and during that time, and we'll still have those. It's just we won't have a regular game day until after Labor Day weekend, but we are already looking to have more people than normal.
All right. Let's bring it down a notch. You guys know how to get in touch with us. Go out into Facebook, find us, find the tavern out there. Everything's centered on our website. You can go to inroadsministries.com. and find everything from our YouTube channel, where we've got some role-playing games going on. You can go to, you've got Mike's Top 10 that's out there for everybody to consume.
Yeah, and if you want me to do that again, I could easily do it.
Oh yeah, baby.
Or
oh, yeah.
Basically, what I'll say is that pretty much any kind of video is, at least in that kind of vlog form, we can make that happen. If you have an idea for things that you want to see on our YouTube channel, let us know. Because right now it's mostly just for, you know, doing the role-playing games, which was why we originally started it in the first place. But we realize that that's a forum that we can do stuff with, but we want to make sure we're not stretching ourselves too thin for stuff that you guys don't actually want to watch. So Let us know what you want to see on our YouTube channel, and we will gladly do that.
All right, gang. Well, let's close it out by saying that God is the game master, and no matter how the dice fall, the game plays on.